Chapter 1. The Law of the Jungle. Father Wolf woke up from his day's rest at 7 o'clock on a very warm evening in the Sioni Hills in India. He scratched himself, yawned, and spread out his paws to wake them up too. Mother Wolf lay with her big gray nose dropped across her four squealing cubs. The bright moon shone into the mouth of the cave where they all lived.
"Rawr,"
said Father Wolf as he stretched. "It is time to hunt again." He was just about to go down the hill when a little shadow with a bushy tail passed by the opening of the cave. It was the jackal, Tabaki, whom all of the wolves hated. Tabaki was known throughout India because he was always making mischief, telling tales and eating things from the village's garbage piles. The wolves were afraid of him too, because Tabaki, more than anyone else in the jungle, was a little bit crazy. At times, he ran through the forest biting everything in his way, forgetting that he was ever afraid of anyone. Even the tiger ran and hid when Tabaki went crazy, because in the jungle, being crazy is the most shameful thing that can ever happen to a wild animal. Father Wolf told Tabaki to enter the cave, but warned that there was no food for him. "For a wolf, no," said Tabaki, "but for someone like me, even a dry bone is a good meal." He then went to the back of the cave and found a bone with some meat on it. He happily chewed the end of it as he watched the wolf cubs. "How beautiful are the children," said Tabaki. "How large are their eyes, and so young, too," he added. Now Tabaki knew that there was no point in complimenting the children to their faces. However, it pleased him to see Mother and Father Wolf look uncomfortable. Tabaki sat watching the wolves, happy about the mischief he had caused, and then said, "Shere Khan, the big one, has changed his hunting grounds. He will hunt among the Sioni Hills for the next month. He told me so himself." Shere Khan was the tiger who lived about 20 miles away, near the Wangunga River. "He has no right," said Father Wolf angrily. "By the law of the jungle, he cannot change his hunting grounds without warning the animals of this land. Shere Khan will frighten away all of the creatures, and I have to hunt to feed my family." "Shere Khan's mother did not call him the lame one for nothing," said Mother Wolf quietly. "He's had an injured foot since he was born. That is why he has only killed cattle. Now the villagers of Wangunga are angry with him, and he has come here to make our villagers angry too. Shere Khan's arrival in our land has put us all in danger." Tabaki looked pleased at all the trouble he had caused.
"Out!" shouted Father Wolf. "You have done enough harm for one night, Tabaki."
"Okay, I'll go now," said Tabaki quietly.
"But Shere Khan is in the bushes below. He could have told you of his arrival himself."
Father Wolf listened, and below in the valley he heard the dry, angry whine of a tiger who has caught nothing and doesn't care if everyone in the jungle knows it.
"That fool," said Father Wolf. "To begin a night's hunt with that noise is ridiculous. He will scare away all the bucks and bulls."
"Quiet," said Mother Wolf. "Shere Khan is not hunting animals tonight, but man."
Just then, Shere Khan's whine changed to a sort of humming purr that seemed to come from every corner of the jungle. It was the noise that frightens people sleeping in the open and makes them run sometimes into the very mouth of the tiger.
"Man," growled Father Wolf, showing all of his white teeth. "Are there not enough creatures in the jungle that he must eat man and on our ground too?"
"The law of the jungle forbids every beast to eat man except when killing to show his children how to kill. Then a beast must hunt outside the hunting grounds of his pack. The real reason for this is that killing man means, sooner or later, the arrival of other men with guns and fire, which will make everyone in the jungle suffer. The beasts of the jungle say that man is weak and powerless, so it is unfair to touch him."
Soon, the purr from below in the valley grew louder and ended in a loud "Arrgh!" as the tiger charged. Then there was a howl from Shere Khan that meant he had missed his kill. Father Wolf ran out of the cave a few paces and heard Shere Khan snarling as he moved around in the bushes.
"Something is coming up the hill," said Mother Wolf. "Get ready."
The bushes moved a little, and Father Wolf dropped low, ready to leap at whatever came at him. He suddenly made his leap, but had to stop himself almost as soon as he left the ground.
"Man," snapped Father Wolf. "A man's cub. Look."
Directly in front of him, holding onto a low branch, stood a naked brown-skinned baby who could just walk. He looked up into Father Wolf's face and laughed.
"Is that a man's cub?" asked Mother Wolf. "I have never seen one before. Bring it here."
Though Father Wolf's mouth closed right on the child's back, not a tooth even scratched the skin as he laid him down among his own cubs.
"How little! How naked and how fearless!" said Mother Wolf softly.
The baby was soon pushing his way between the wolf cubs to get warm. "He is lying with the others. Now, was there ever a wolf that could brag about a baby being among her cubs?" she added. "I have heard now and again of such a thing, but never in our wolf pack or in my life," said Father Wolf. "He doesn't have any hair, and I could kill him with the touch of my foot, but he is not afraid of us." Suddenly, Shere Khan's great square head and shoulders were blocking the entrance to the cave, keeping the moonlight out. Tabaki was behind him.
"My lord, it went in here," said the jackal.
Father Wolf looked angry.
"What do you want, Shere Khan?" he growled.
"A man's cub went this way," said Shere Khan. "Its parents have run off. Give it to me." Father Wolf did not feel afraid because the mouth of his cave was too narrow for the great tiger to fit through. Even where he was, Shere Khan's shoulders and front paws were cramped at the entrance. There was no room for him to move.
"The wolves are free people," said Father Wolf. "They only take orders from the head of the pack and not from any tigers. The man's cub is ours, and we will kill it if we choose to."
"You do not get to choose," said Shere Khan angrily. "It is I, Shere Khan, who speaks, and you will do as I say."
The tiger's roar filled the cave. Mother Wolf leaped away from her cubs and jumped forward. She faced the flaming eyes of Shere Khan.
"And it is I, Raksha, who answers. The man's cub is mine, and he will not be killed. He will live to run with the pack and to hunt with the pack, and in the end he will hunt you. Now get out of here. Go!" shouted Mother Wolf.
Father Wolf looked on, amazed. He had almost forgotten the days when Mother Wolf ran in the pack and fought alongside the other wolves. Shere Khan might have faced Father Wolf, but he could not stand up against Mother Wolf. He knew that she would fight to the death. So he backed out of the cave's mouth growling. And when he was clear of the entrance, he shouted,
"We will see what the pack says about taking care of a man's cub. The cub is mine, and he will one day die by my bite."
Mother Wolf threw herself down beside the cubs, and Father Wolf said to her, "Shere Khan speaks some truth. We must show the child to the pack. Will you still keep him, Mother?"
"Keep him?" she gasped. "He came naked, by night, alone and very hungry. Yet he is not afraid. Look, he is already lying with my cubs."
Shere Khan would have killed him and run off to the Wangunga while the villagers were hunted through our land in revenge.
"Keep him? I assure you that I will keep him."
Mother Wolf then looked at the man's cub. "Lie still, little frog. I will call you Mowgli the Frog. The time will come when you will hunt Shere Khan just as he has hunted you."
"But what will our pack say?" asked Father Wolf.
"The law of the jungle states very clearly that any wolf may, when he marries, withdraw from the pack he belongs to. However, as soon as his cubs are old enough to stand on their feet, he must bring them to the pack council so that the other wolves may identify them. After that, the cubs are free to run where they please. And until they have killed their first buck, no excuse is accepted if a grown wolf of the pack kills one of them.